Welcome to Design Hide Podcast. Today we have a very special guest, Vidishi Pandey, and she is a design entrepreneur, the co-founder of Mob, which is a visual communication and design studio. Welcome, Vidishi. Happy to have you here.
Thank you, Abhay.
Yeah, so going on with the questions that I really want to ask and that the audience really wanted to know about is that let's just dive into it, and I just wanted to ask you how and why design came into your life. Like, what was the story behind it?
I think I wanted to explore the possibilities and opportunities that I would find in this field. So, you see, the curriculum of NIFT, it is specifically crafted to educate kids about fashion industry. Of course, design is a huge part of this industry, but it is a completely different field in itself. So design is like a power with which you can transform anything. It is not just confined to fashion or art. It is an integral part of everybody's life. Every interaction that we go through has a design aspect to it. So you brush your teeth with the toothbrush, which is designed best to suit your dental requirements, right? Mm-hmm. The bucket that you have in your bathroom, even if you picked it randomly, you would have never picked a bucket with a bad design. And for other example, if you want to buy a mouse, let's say a RGB gaming mouse, so you will search for it till you find the one which looks good and also functions as per your requirements. Theek hai? And then how will you know that you found that perfect mouse? The representation or the packaging of the mouse will communicate that with you. Now, anything with these three qualities, that is functionality, aesthetics, and good communication combined, is a good design. So the moment you start noticing stuff like this, it is a chain reaction. You come to realize you have been looking at everything this way, and it never occurred to you that it was design that was orchestrating your every single series of action. So by the end of my uni, I was in the middle of an explosion of curiosity, and it was pretty obvious to me that whatever I will do in life, it will be very closely related to design. That's it.
That's true. So I got the point that this, all of this started to like kind of maturely happen in your uni. What was before that? Like, how did you really choose NIFT? Like you always thought of it, or did your friends influence, or what was?
Well, I was preparing for medical since I was in grade 9. Okay. And my parents had always told me that I would be a doctor. But some of my teachers suggested my dad that I should go for NIFT as well, specifically my biology teacher, because I was exceptionally good at drawing diagrams. So I did, I gave it a shot. And surprisingly, I cracked NEET and NIFT simultaneously. And it gave me a little confidence, and I became a rebel child suddenly. And I was like, now whatever may happen, I'm going to NIFT. I'm not going to be a doctor anymore. And nobody could do anything about it. So yeah. And it was purely curiosity. And that curiosity grew when I was in NIFT.
One thing that is really interesting that even though you wanted to be a doctor, and one main thing that is very, I would say, interesting and amazing is that your biology teacher, who should have been influencing you to go to doctor, influenced your father to give you NIFT. So.
It was very difficult to convince my parents at the end of the day. They were completely against it. They did not want me to go to the counseling, and I did not go to the NEET counseling. So I became a rebel child suddenly, because I got so much confidence. Yes, now I'm going to conquer the world. I'm going to NIFT only. Nobody can do anything about it.
That is something that everyone should get that. Yeah, so going forward, you have had some corporate experience. So I wanted to know how was your experience there, and how was it really different in terms of what you are doing right now as a designer entrepreneur? Like, what's the story and experience behind that?
Okay, so I did a lot of internships in multiple different areas of design. So my first internship was in styling, after which I realized that I'm never going to pursue that. Then I thought I should go for brand development, and I did that for a startup. It dealt with renting luxury bikes for road tripping, and it was a very young company. It started just 2 months before I joined it. So it proved to be a very good opportunity to get the insights of how a brand is born. And then I did my graduation project in a very nice advertising company. That is where I learned how professional designers work. So advertising is a completely different world. The work never stops there. Deadlines are so tightly packed that you don't even realize the next day has already begun. So after all this, I finally got a job in a travel company, Tripoto, where I worked for 2.5 years. Initially, as a creative content designer, but then later I shifted to product and UI UX. Now, one thing everybody should realize is that college, internship, and job, these three are very different experiences. College does not prepare you to ace your career. It only gives you a formal qualification that, okay, go ahead, you can do anything you want to now. But internships are the opportunities where you learn to harness new skills and you observe how things get done. Everybody will still treat you like a child there. At least they treated me like a child in every internship. But it is the job when the things start to get real. You see, you suddenly become accountable for a list of tasks that are very specific to your skills, and you hold a certain value to the company. So you cannot afford to make any mistakes there. You are expected to constantly exceed the expectations of the management to maintain a certain reputation and grow your position in the company. But I had a nice job, an ideal work environment, a very creative workspace, and a set of excellent people to interact with. So I think it is our way of dealing with our job that defines the experience that we have. To an extent, I really enjoyed the challenges that I faced. So it was great. It helped me a lot to build a studio that I have right now.
Okay. So having a good team, having a good environment, and learning as much as you can from the experience that you're trying to
Having a
achieve.
positive outlook to everything that you're facing is very important. You're facing challenges, just use that to motivate yourself at the end of the day. Because even I was stressed out most of the times, but yeah, I got over it in 5 minutes and I was like, what the hell? Never mind. I'll just get it will just get over. So
Agree. Yeah. Got it. Because a lot of for me as well, whenever I'm trying to do internships, I feel like learning is more important than because I think internship is some experience where even you are there to learn. So if you don't experiment or go beyond what you think you can do, it's not, then I think that's what you should do.
And in internships, you can make as many mistakes you want to.
Yes, that's
Nobody
the
will
main.
question.
Yeah.
That's the best part.
Yeah. So I think that's the outlook everyone should take forward when they're trying to do internship or a job,
Yes.
yeah. So yeah, so I think so going forward, I want to connect the questions about this. So how did Mob came into ex existence, and how, firstly, let the audience know what is Mob, and then how did it came into existence, and how did you grow it, something like that.
Okay. So during my job, most of the times the workload was off the charts. But I was learning a lot in the process as well. I had tons of ideas in my mind, but no bandwidth to either think about it clearly or even act on it. So I left my job in 2019. I did a SWOT analysis of myself and tried to visualize key where I wanted to see myself in the next 5 years. And I finally came to an understanding that I wanted to work on various kinds of design projects and also collaborate with different kinds of designers in the process. So I discussed this with my partner, and inspired by the idea of collaborating work, we established Merb in January 2020. Hence, Merb is a multidisciplinary design studio which specializes in curating illustrative content. And our goal is to optimize visual communication of brands. So most of our services are B2B for now, but we are also working to launch some B2C products as well. It is completely a visual communication design studio. We work on different kinds of projects, not one particular project, like music videos or anything that you can think of, making creative calendars or making web series intros, anything like that. So we are not bound by one specific genre of work.
I think the main point here to grasp is that when you felt like you had a lot of thoughts, but you wanted to do something, like you wanted to do something about it. You kind of made a, I would say, a risk. It usually is in Indian society, like you kind of,
It
yes,
was a gamble too, to
exactly. So you
be honest.
took
Because when you're working,
a
you
stable.
have a guarantee ki, okay, I'll get money every month.
Yes.
When you leave that, it's a huge risk. Unless and until your family is backing you up, because mine was not. They were like, yeah, go ahead, do it, but we will not back you up. So you're on your
Course.
own.
Yeah. So thinking about that, and then you kind of what you have, the main thing is you did the SWOT, and you kind of notice what you can do with your skills, and that's how I think mob
And you
came.
need to visualize yourself, okay, where you want to see in the next 5 years. That is very important, because unless and until you don't have a target, you cannot work
Exactly.
in that path.
I believe in that too, and I usually whenever someone asks me what should I do and what should I not, I say first thing is to analyze what you want, what is your goal, like what is your goal, what do you really want to achieve in life, and then like how do you get it, and that's the process. Yeah, so going forward, so one more, like the audience is very new about design and they trying to learn about different aspects, so I wanted to more focus on how they can get into the thinking that they do, how they can get into thinking of having a having their own design studio, and what kind of process, tips or tricks that you want to give them if they are planning to have a design studio.
Okay. I think I would say decide what kind of studio do you want to be. Do you want to be a content marketing studio or an advertising studio? A visual art studio, creative boutique, animation studio, there are all kinds of studios. So you need to do your research. Figure out what services you can provide and how you plan to price it. Then you should get all your legalities fixed. You need to get your brand registered, get a GST number, figure out what kind of ownership your brand is. Is it proprietorship or is it partnership? Because there are various kinds of partnerships as well. So it is best to consult a professional CA and get all these things done, because registration is a very complicated process, to be honest. It
Agree.
didn't it took me a lot of time to understand all that. And then you need to work on your branding and marketing. A lot of processes will follow thereafter. But if you want to deal with a professional company, you need to start being one yourself. So after you get all this done, that is where the real work starts. All this was something you can actually Google. But once you open a company, you enter a race. So if you're out of the blue and you're very new, it is a sprint race that never ends. It's not a joke. It's really like that. You need to build your network of clients, get contacts, and that is a lot of work. You have to be committed to your company. You cannot afford to lose focus at all. No matter what hardships you're facing, do not get distracted by failures or forget what you are working so hard for. See, sometimes you will slack off due to hardships or whatever, and that is all right. But do not stop working on your growth. You will see your rivals taking over, going ahead of you. So take that as motivation and work harder. People who already have contacts are way ahead of you in this field. So you need to catch up to them and then surpass them. And that you can do with the quality of the work you provide and proving your reliability to your clients. Yeah, I would say just work hard. Just work as hard as you can. That is what I am doing. I would work as hard as I can, day and night. It doesn't matter if I'm getting enough sleep or not, because in the starting is what matters a lot. It is a sprint. You cannot do a marathon.
Agreed, agreed. Like, well, that's the main thing. If you have a goal, then working hard doesn't seem like working hard. It seems like you are
Exactly.
enjoying the process.
Yeah.
Get it. So, one more thing that you talked about the hardships. I didn't know, like, just if you remember some few mistakes that you that happened in the process, and that, what learnings did you got from it, or what how did you cope up with it, something.
Few mistakes is a very wrong thing to say. I made a lot of mistakes. I was continuously making mistakes. I thought, ki, am I making a series of bad decisions that has landed me here? So there are a lot of things that you will do wrong and learn from it. And one, I think the first will be pricing your product based on time rather than on deliverables. Personally don't think that one should measure the value of any product based on the amount of time that it took to create it, because you work so hard for to reach a point where your knowledge and skill comes with a lot of experience,
yeah.
and that makes you eligible to do the same work in way less amount of time than others. Sometimes due to changes in manifestos, it can take longer than anticipated, and sometimes there is a complete change in the deliverable. So you have to think about the resources, the manpower, the skills required for any project. The client is never going to understand how much hard work you put in the process. He'll just see the final output and say yes or no, I like it or no, I don't like it. So keep in mind that you consider all these things while fixing the pricing, because when you're overburdening yourself and not getting paid for it, the client is exploiting you. And to escape that, always make a contract. Contract is what will save you from being exploited. Okay. The second thing is filter your clients. It is very important to filter your clients. I learned this by trial and error. It is always better to work with people or clients who understand the value of your product, because the entire environment of the project changes accordingly. The client who is clear about what to expect from you and knows the value of your service will walk an extra mile to bring justice to that product. They will understand some very basic points automatically, that why it is important to invest more. They will agree to your timelines and let you do what you do best. On the other hand, there are clients whom you need to educate first, make them understand the value of your product, work hard to clarify the expectations, and tell them why funds are important for optimizing the operations. And trust me, you will count every minute of that project and remember it for the rest of your life. Everybody has difficult times and we all make mistakes, but it is important to not repeat them. So even in your toughest times, just filter your clients. This is a golden advice. Remember it. The other thing is you should learn to sell your product. You can have the best product in the world, but it will bring you no business if you cannot sell it. Do not stick to just one marketing strategy for that. Work on multiple ways to get your clients. Optimize your marketing strategy. Try several of them. If you fail in some of them, it's okay, but try everything that you can. Keep 3 to 4 foolproof plans at your hand. Okay, I will strategize my content, my product like this. If not like this, then that. At least 3 plans. I think 4 would be to have a cause that you're working for. Take care. Like ours is that we aim to optimize visual communication of brands and want to bring a positive impact on the design community through collaborative work culture. So this mission thing also acts as a motivation that makes you work harder and better than before. Okay, I think we have done 4, right?
Yeah.
The 5th would be thinking you can do everything. That's very wrong. It is toxic. You are not freelancing. Freelancing and running a studio is different. Studio is teamwork. You should believe in the people who are working with you. You know that there are things that nobody can do like you, but that doesn't mean that somebody else cannot do it better. So give them a chance to surprise you, and they will. The 6th would be thinking what worked for somebody else will work for you too. It will not. Every decision or strategy that you draft is based on the factors that specifically affect your business. So keep that in mind. Analyze your condition and then strategize. And don't forget what you're passionate about. Because if you like to do something and feel confident about it, then it will be the best thing to monetize. Because you will be willing to walk an extra mile to bring out the best results in something that you are actually willing to do. Take care. And I think the last would be, do not hesitate to ask for help. There are people who just talk about helping you and then they will vanish. But then there are those who actually do. So ask for help if you need any. Those who will help you will grow with you, and they will prove to be an integral part of your brand in the times to come. That's it. There are many other things as well, but these are the major things that one should always keep in mind. This is where everybody goes wrong.
To be honest, I agree, because even though because the main thing about exploitation, I feel like when I started out in design, when I had my first gig in design as a freelancer, so I had I had a startup when I was just 14 years old, but at the time I don't know, but I didn't got expert. I think I was fortunate enough. But recently, in few times when I started UI UX as a bigger scale, I really got expert in the starting that I used to do internships. They said they will get paid, but at one month after, I felt like the environment was not good when I left. So they didn't even ask to pay me or something like that. So I feel it's something that everyone should take care of. So yeah, so that is something I really can relate to, and I think a lot of can relate to the points that to cover up, and these should be taken care of whenever people are trying to do freelancing or a design studio or just as a design general designer. They should know about these. So yeah, going forward, I just wanna like quickly ask you a few things more outside of design, like outside of more like who are you, what do you do, something more about that.
Currently, I hardly have any bandwidth to do anything apart from building the studio. It is very hectic. Sometimes it is like that. I'm working for 48 hours and I don't sleep. And then I'm like, okay, I'm done with it finally. I don't even feel sleepy. That is the point. And then I sleep for 10 hours or 12 hours straight. And then I wake up with a lot of energy and then I start working again. So not all days are like that, but most of the days are like that. But sometimes when I have a proper schedule, I do get a little time before I go to sleep. So I either read books or I illustrate because I love illustrating. I'm an illustrator at the end of the
So that is the main thing, right? That illustration is something that relax you or something that you do for fun. So that's what the main thing is.
not the right thing. De-stress myself would be
Yeah,
the right
that would be
thing.
something. So that is something that is good, na? So when you have, that's the main thing. You have to find out the right goal for yourself. When you do, and when you work towards that goal, the work won't seem like work. Like it will seem like work, but it won't be
Will
as,
always seem like fun,
yeah.
trust
But
me.
you will enjoy that. You won't complain about it that shit, I have to work for 48 hours. What did I do? You will be happy like you did. Like you won't be like it wasn't something that I really didn't wanted to do. So yeah. So the last question that I really want to ask is that what is your 2 cents of advice for any budding designer who wants to grow in a design industry in general? So what would be your few cents?
I think you should keep those people close to you who criticize you because they see something that you cannot. And it doesn't matter if they are your friends or not, but they're the best people to be around. You will grow the most in that environment and have a positive outlook to everything that you face. The more challenges that you have, the better you will be at handling everything.
Agreed. I think a lot of people won't understand this thing
It took me a lot of time to understand this,
yes,
honestly.
because criticizing is someone, I don't know, takes on ego, I would
Very
say.
difficult
Yeah.
to bear that.
Yes, it's gonna be because but as a designer, I feel critic is the best thing for a designer. Today I was just reading an article about critics and I was like, okay, damn, it is very important to have it. Yeah. So that's it. Thank you, Vidisha, for having for being here, and thank you so much for pouring your knowledge out here, and yeah, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, I had a great time. Thanks, Abhay.
Thank you guys for watching in, and whosoever is watching it, you can check out Vidisha's socials down in the description box, and see you in the next one.